This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Hello.
Yes,
I got lost
for a minute there.
Yeah. So are we following the Rambam?
Between the extremes, Ben.
Exactly. So between the extremes, we have deals that are... Well, first of all, he says there is a day of baininess in the middle, which is equidistant from both of them. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Then he says of these deos, of these extreme deos, the polar opposite deos, some of them are inborn, some of them are a propensity that a person has, a tendency towards one or the other. There are some that is picked up from the surroundings, and some are things that time has developed in. The Rambam says in Halacha Gimel, "Shtei ktsavos or chokos umizusha b'chol deya v'deya, ein derech tova." Neither of the two extremes are good. Vein roi le'ladim lefz behen, and it's not worthy of a person should not go to in them. V'lo lamda latzmo, and certainly not to adapt them as a word. And if he finds himself going towards one or the other, he should move back to the middle. Now, one more halacha, then we'll explain the point here. Hadeya Hayeshara, the straight one, is the midah bainis, this midpoint, shabri called deya v'deya, between each set of, and that is a type of deya that is equidistant from both extremes, equally distant. And it's close to neither this nor this. That's sort of the one half of this, what the Rambam said. And even he gives some sort of example of what he thinks. I want to first explain what does that mean, extreme and midpoint. The silly example, the absurd example would be, if someone to ask me, if you're being ascetic, how much food would you not eat? Yeah, you know, what's the least amount of food you can eat? The answer is none. In other words, I could fast today. If someone to ask me, if you're being a glutton, how much could you possibly push down into your stomach? And I would hazard a guess that, let's say, 4 steaks. So is mita benis 2 steaks? If a person could be mezane every day, and his mezana half a week is that baininess? What exactly does it mean? And the answer is, we're not talking about numbers. We're not talking about that. It's a very different concept. Imagine, let's go back to with the artist. And the artist has all these colors lined up, and he asks the person, I should paint the canvas red or blue? And the answer is, I want an accurate description of the surroundings, which means it's neither red nor blue nor green nor yellow. It is as much red as is needed to bring out the color of the flowers, and as much green as to bring out the grass, and so on. It means that the point of what's directing my balance has nothing to do with the etzem mahalach of it. Let's take another example. In physics, water can go until 0 degrees centigrade. That's the coldest water will go before it becomes ice. The hottest water will go before it becomes steam is 100 degrees. So if I have a hot faucet, it's going to be up to 100 degrees. If I have a cold faucet, it's going to be up to 0 degrees. If I have middle water, it's not going to be 50 degrees. It's going to be what's comfortable to me. It's neither hot nor cold, but a usage of hot and cold to shtel it suit to the person. That is the definition of baininess. The Rambam then says that this is called mitzuvan alechet bedrochem elav beinim, V'im ha'drochim ha'toivim v'yisharim. These are called the drachot toivim v'yisharim. And he says, and then later on next halach he says, v'heim ha'derech ha'bein yishonei chayav ha'leches bo, nikris derech zu derech Hashem. That's called derech Hashem. And he says, Avraham Avinu taught it to his children, ki yidat ma'chei tzaveh, v'holuch betov v'zu mevitev v'broch, and so on. So Ramesha once said, Derech Hashem was medayik, the concept of Havaya. I don't want to go so far in the Rambam, but what is appropriate to say is, I am taking the world as building blocks, that's how I'm looking at it, and I'm saying to myself, how much chesed, how much kpeda, how much din, how much of everything is going in to build the picture Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. And, you know, if I ask myself, how should I construct my life? How much fasting should I do? How much partying shall I do? How much friendship shall I express? And how much shall I withdraw into myself and so be misvoted? The answer is none of these have inherent value as much as an overall, how much goes into making you Salman Lakim. And different people might be different answers. For one person, reaching out to other people might be what he needs to mold him to get know. For the other person, it's withdrawing a bit and sort of focusing inwards, and so on. So the midah of rachamim, now let's go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu midos. So we've described personal midos, and now klap HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's look at each midah. The midah of chesed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving everything he's giving. And in that sense, man is not at all Demet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's a taker, and that's it. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with Midas Adin, where anything you didn't earn is not yours, and as soon as you lost your right to exist, you're gone, that makes a person perfectly in tune with Elohim, but it means the person can't survive. It's like saying, you know, if all your food were 99 degrees centigrade, it would not, you would never have the problem of contamination with bacteria. It says, yes, but I would probably burn myself from inside if all my food was 99 degrees centigrade. So that's not for me. That's fantastic if you're using it as lab specimen. It's got nothing to do with me. Midas harachamim, rachamim as opposed to chesed is, I'm trying to reach out to the other person. Chesed means I have a need to give, to go out, to do. It wasn't evoked by the other person's need or plight, but rather it was evoked by my need to be a giver and to broaden myself and so on. Rachamim is shtelz su to the person receiving it. It's why I walked by and I saw this person in need and I had great rachmanis on him. So
rachamim is emes?
Rachamim will be closer to emes. Rachamim is a parallel to emes in the sense that it's a midah bein emes. In the sense that rachamim is it takes chesed and din. And take a look at the psukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, created the world with chesed, like it says, olam chesed yibane. The first step was chesed, simply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, the etzem desire for an other to the other is a chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire was to create the world with Midas Adin, meaning the greatest chesed is to have a person stand on his own totally. And that's why din is so important. Ruach Ein Olam Miskayim, Shitivim HaMidas Rachamim. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that din is an absolute ideal, but it's not going to serve mankind. So the Shitras Rachmim is seen as the Midas Rachmim being the combination of different elements, and Rachmim extends credit. Rachmim sort of is something which allows, like when we ask for Rachmim, we usually ask for give us a chance to do tshuva, give us a chance for this. So Midas Rachmim is a parallel in that sense to Midas Emes. It means a combination of different needles to produce a desired result. Rachamim is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us in the big, big, big picture of how we're expected to make it here. Midas Rachmim is the combination of two midos, and Midas Emes is our sense of how it is that, what is it, which of the particular midos are good, inherent, are good be'etzim all the way? The answer is none, except for Midas Emes, which is good all the way. There's a famous shtickle that Svarim say that by Yaakov Avinu was terrible.
Can you just repeat that last point?
From where? Like which Nakuda?
Rachamim, maybe.
So Rachamim is an expression of that setup, Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the reaching out to us in a way that takes into account an absolute ideal and what it is that we could possibly cope with. He has us in mind and the ideal in mind. The ideal is somebody earning his way all the way, which makes him as similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as could possibly be. On the other hand, that I survive such an ordeal, which is almost impossible for anybody, requires an incorporation of giving, of credit, of bechila, and together it creates that midah is called rachamim. Parallel to that, in my midos, emes is like that. I do tzedakah, phenomenal amount of tzedakah, except where the Torah says not to do. I have tremendous ava for my parents, but Shevet Levi, you know, when they worshipped Avodah Zarah, which wasn't like their parents, whatever, I needed to cut it off. The ability of combining midas in the appropriate proportion to give the picture that I need, that's the midah of emes, a club in Avodah Hashem. And that's why Yaakov Avinu, almost by definition, as the third one, is the one who could combine the two. There are all sorts of different Muslim the Sfarim give. It says, Yaakov Asher Podes Avram. In other words, Avram's Midah itself was not going to make it without Yaakov's being able to redeem it. By Yaakov incorporating other elements to it, that's what redeemed it. Torah, which is also associated with Yaakov, being that Torah is it's using the scales of Seichel to weigh the different needles. When I tell a person, get into davening, I lose myself in the midst of davening. That doesn't give me the ability to decide when to daven or not to daven. A Torah includes in itself, Torah is the scales which to weigh the activities and decide which is appropriate, which is not appropriate. There's a thing, Sfarim say it. It says Yaakov Avinu was horrified that his mitase wasn't shlema. Whether by the fact that Yosef, losing Yosef to him was devastating in the sense that something's wrong. The fact that when he stood around him and, you know, the Ruach HaKadosh left him, he said, Shemay mitase shlema. Yaakov Avinu's mitase shlema was very, very paramount in his in what he wanted. Avram had a son. 50% of Avram's children, or more if you want to count the Ektura, were no big tzaddikim. 50% of Yitzchak's children were no big tzaddikim. Why was Yaakov so obsessed with this issue? And as far as I'm saying, one way or another, different variations, but the same idea. Avram's midah is chesed. Chesed by nature contains a problem. In other words, chesed is reaching out, expanding, no boundaries, and at some point that becomes not good. And Yishmael represents that. Yishmael's all over the place. Yishmael is knows no boundaries. Yod Bakol, Yakol Bo. He rove kashas. He shoots an arrow. An arrow just goes. It goes beyond the pale of where you are, etc., etc. Snus is an expression of that, where you use ava in places without the boundaries, and so on and so forth. Yitzchak's midah was din, and din carries in itself a problem if when it's gone too far. And that's what Esav embodies. Esav is Balacherev, Achar Mechotichye. He's Hina Lecher Holech Lomos. Nobody who's gone with Midas Adin is going to survive forever, because at some point, if there is no chance for failure, then you will fail. In other words, if any failure means utter destruction, if I tell this machine if it fails, it explodes, then the question is when it's going to explode, not if it will explode, because everything fails at some point. So that was the media, the cruelty of Esav and the cherev and Esav and so on. But that was natural. It wasn't a chisaron in Yitzchak. It was a chisaron in the media of Yitzchak. The Yaakov Avinu, his nida was to combine the elements of Avraham and Yitzchak in the right combination, which expresses Tzal Malkim appropriately. If there's something wrong with his children, then it's not the pshat that the nida was wrong, he's wrong. The Velt says, there's a saying, the Velt, that a half a emes is a whole sheker. You know, chatzi emes is a sheker gomer. There's no such thing as a half truth. So if in my midah of emes there is a blip, a glitch, then the entire thing is mufrach. And that's why Yaakov Avinu, if something of his could go off the derech, then he has zero midah. And that's why, on the other hand, Yaakov becomes the permanent name of Israel. This is the Midah Metzias Gal Yisrael. That's more or less the sense. That's what Midas Emes means. Because, or else it really has no... When I say something's the absolute truth, if I don't have what to compare it to, I can't. That doesn't mean anything. If I say this is the true road to happiness, I need to have a model of happiness for this to be the true road to happiness. If no one's ever seen happiness, so true happiness, then this is not the, then I can't say it's the true road to happiness. It doesn't make any sense. And by Kaddish Baruch Hu, that's how we're going to define emes, and by Adam also. It's where there's a combination of different needs to produce the point that's desired.
Is that what the Rambam says, Hashem Elokeichem emes is going on Havaya, on existence?
Right.
So that's relative to existence. How much? What are the things at play there?
What's the right way to say it? It's two sides of the same coin. For things to exist, they must be identical to Likus. Their quality must be of such that it's identical to Likus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the totality of existence, and he is the only thing that existence is innate to him. That's his metzias. Everything else has some sort of pseudo-existence, and that's the Pasha Pshat the Rambam there. That something that exists temporarily is called existing as a borrowed phrase. Because that which exists, for instance, let's use a mushroom. If I say this table is a wooden table, so I could be an outright liar. I mean, the table could be made out of metal. I could be referring to a veneer of wood, and it's not true, because even though it looks like wood, it feels like wood, but it's not wood essentially. And if you bang it enough, if you cut it enough, you will get to something that's not wood. Whereas something that is solid wood from one side to the other side is really wood, because that's what its essence is. The Rambam means over there is a Hashem Elokim Emes. The only thing that exists, the etzem. It didn't have a time and it didn't exist. It doesn't have a time and it will not exist. Its existence is not dependent on something other than that, a contingent on any factor. It exists and exists and exists, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So over there, Rama means emes. When I define a term like existence, emes means it's an absolute concept. It's not relative to something else. when we say we exist, well, 60 years ago we didn't exist. In 60 years we will not exist. So we mean to say we have of the quality of existence, but we're not identical to the quality of existence. That's pretty much what the Rambam means over here. He means it in a different shade, a different way than we're saying it. He means defining the characteristics of an object to its essential rather than to some characteristics it might possess. It's interesting, or I guess once we're on the topic, the shallow perspective on midos has always been there are certain midos tovos, and since we don't do them, we need to bang them into ourselves. So, for instance, I gotta say savlonis is a midah tova. We don't have enough savlonis. We don't, you know, people don't normally have savlonis. So if we hear a lot of musa shmuz on savlonis and work on savlonis, we're gonna pick up savlonis. That's normally seen as avodas amidas, avodas amusar, and which there is some, obviously there's an akuda to it. But in the Sfarim, many Sfarim, even Musa Sfarim, Dalton Nevardik, and or the and Salsicha Sfarim, the Radzina Sfarim, they use a fascinating word to describe the avoda of midas. They call it birure midos. In other words, the appropriate sifting through of the midos, because we do things with a muddle of motives, and we react in certain ways. Let's take an example of something. Let's say somebody does something that's wrong, or somebody believes he's fooling everybody, and he does something, and you know, he wants it to look good. That there's an Israeli mindset. I'm going to show him that he can't fool anybody. I'm going to put him in his place. I'm going to show him up 40 years and so on and so forth. Now, at that point, that midah, the question is, first needs to step back six steps and say, is this the appropriate tool to use? What's my goal? If my goal is to let off steam, then yeah, blast away. Is my goal to feel better than him, holier than him? Blast away. But if my goal is to rectify his problems, do I think that that's going to do it? Will that change him? Will he? Will this help him realize his mistake and change his derech or not? Or really what I'm trying to say is, you think you fooled me, which in a certain way has put me down, and I feel humiliated that you think you fooled me. I'm going to show you that you can't fool me because I'm smarter than you are, and you don't have one over me. That might be the meter working. In other words, and being able to figure out what are the meters there and which is the right tool to use at this time. The same way that if a doctor finds a son of cancer and is horrified, he doesn't reach for the blowtorch to blast it out of existence. It may not be the best tool for it. And his question now has to be, okay, now, what's the tool I'm going to use for it? And that's something that understanding that people's actions, reactions are very much, you know, I had a Rebbe who, in my mind, is the paradigm of emes, wisdom, a machanach of the best, was somebody named Reb Zadel Epstein. I had him as a Rebbe in 11th grade, 12th grade, and he's very, very, in summer I was with him once for that summer. They're very, very instrumental in giving me a certain image of what a person is. And he was totally in control of his midas, as I mean, as far as human beings, and tremendous amount of wisdom, how to react when and where, and a very genuine person. You didn't get the sense this is a mechanical person consulting his handbook, but he had. He did not react the way he felt. He reacted with what would be right. And one of his cute ploys was, somebody did sometimes something that was wrong, he would say, you know, if I were the type of person that would lose my temper, what do you think I'd say? I'd say how you talk that the bracha is chashiv does X and Y and Z. And after we did this, and after we said the musa and all this, and still we do it, da, 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 and we kind of say everything with a little touch of kind of chaver manshaf. Then he would finish off with a smile and say, but you know, I don't get angry, so I can't say these things. And it was not very, it was sweet. It was able to get the message across without injecting any personal venom or issues. And it was fascinating. And it was genuine. I mean, you know, he really was in control. His direction was, these are the things the person needs to know. If I put any personal emotional things into it, he will not be mepavlit. And it'll just create resentment, and the message will not get in. If I don't allow my temper to act, but I allow sort of a good humor with using those words, it's going to go in and make an impression. That's an extraordinary, you know. And I mean, we're teaching teenagers day in day out for 50 years. It takes a lot of control and chachma. But his midas were his. He wasn't all in charge of it. And he could make use of every single meter where and when he wanted to. Victoria Musser, you know, the stories of Slobodka, where he would give somebody Musser very long time after the event. And sometimes he would say, I didn't think you would be Makabal at that, and now I think you're going to Makabal. You have the ability to Makabal the Musser. Or he would sometimes say, I was still personally involved in it, and therefore I couldn't be mochir for you, and now I don't think I'm personally involved, and therefore I can be mochir for you. Those were all directions of it. Like, I think we sort of went a bit far afield, but anything else? Any other question, any point?
Rabbi, is objective reality a Jewish concept? Do we speak like that? Do we use the word MS for that?
Well, in different senses, the answer is yes. Akash Baruch Hu, it goes in rings. The ultimate MS is Akash Baruch Hu. And our world, to start with, is 1 degree less emes. By the very fact that our existence is kind of limited, means that everything here is not quite emes as I guess probably. But then the Maharal uses a lot the term mitzius as things that are mitzvah or kim have total mitzius and so on, things that are of a similar nature. Mitzvahs and Torah have a permanent mitzvahs, granted by God's will, but by God's will they are permanent entities and they last, and therefore there's a certain emes to it, and those are the most emes things. Bezov and Kesev are not the lava person to his grave, so that stops at a certain point. Mitzvahs and Ma'aseh are, so those are things that are emes, and this is thing that's not emes compared to that. And so on. There's a reality of something that happened, and there's a reality of what I wished would have happened, and sometimes I project one on the other. Those are all different madrigas. So, you know, it depends. The right way to look at it depends on which place on the ring we're talking about. The shlaim sometimes even the Pashtuti Am have a certain Madrega. I once, many years ago, we printed up some receipt books of literature for the shul. We made a shul in Azabira in the 70s, you know, whatever. There was still a few guys who had hand presses. And it was the cheapest way to do a small job. So when I went to a guy near the yeshiva and I had an illustration, you know, I had what we wanted, and he made it. And I got it. And you know, it's when you see real ink on paper, it's impressive, and it's less. It doesn't fade because so I say, oh, this lasts forever. And he says to me, only a Kodesh Baruch Hu lasts forever. Everything else lasts a little longer, a little less. But forever is a word only associated with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's kind of cute. I sort of got the Musa. But so there are different rings and of what we would call absolute reality. My father, for example, was a Litvisher, and Litvisher had a very wry sense of humor. And they, you don't understand Yiddish, it would really go well. It goes extremely well in Yiddish. It said, "La'olam, there's no emes in the world. There's no truth in the world. But the milk that the lady delivers every morning is true water. It's emes avasa." In other words, they were always complaining that the milkman dilutes the milk. So they would say there is no truth in the world except for that milk, which is truly water. It plays well in Yiddish, that it rings well in the words. So in this world, everything is some diagram of truth, and depending on how much it's Shayat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, next week in Mitzvah Shem is good for me. In 2 weeks, I'll be gone. There's a chasna in France of one of our bachim. So I'll be there for the chasna and then, regular. So next week we're on. I don't know if they're moving the clock yet next week, but this time it works well for me if it works well for you. And
okay, great.
What?
Where are we going to... where did we get to? Were we close to the end of Nisiva?
Very close to the end of Nisiva Muna. We're sort of in the middle of that. You can start thinking about what you want to do next. It's good time to think of the... We have one or two times left. Okay, good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Yisho kach.
Shalom, bye. Bye.
Shabbos.
Bergman.
Yeah.
You have to switch off Rob Lopion's.